Okay, good evening, everyone. Please rise for the pledge.
Let's pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, may I have an approval of the minutes of the reorganization regular meeting of July 12, 2021? May I have a motion? Okay, Ms. Morrissey, seconded by Mr. Funkin. All in favor? Passed unanimously. Okay, may I have a motion to approve the Treasury and Business Office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for June 2021 and internal claims audit reports for May 2021? Motion, Mrs. Stern, seconded by Mr. Montalto. Any discussion? All in favor? Absent. Superintendent's report. Okay, good evening, everybody. Hope you can hear me. Welcome to Babylon. Good to see everybody tonight. We are actively planning for as close to a normal reopening of all schools as possible in September. We're very excited about that. Last week, the State Education Department Commissioner, Betty Rosa, sent a message to all district leaders sharing her thoughts on September's plan for in-person schooling. There is definitely an urgency and a sense of frustration that districts are feeling as we continue to wait for the New York State Department of Health. But in the meantime, we are using the currently released July 9th guidance from the CDC, as she informed us that we should be using as our basis for any reopening plan. So with that exactly said, here is what we know here in Babylon. Inside our district, we are expected to return to in-person full-day instruction K-12 come September. We are also returning to pre-pandemic school times. That means elementary, grade school are only 5 minutes apart, and the high school would run from 7:40 to 2:30 p.m. We have been fairly consistent in our messaging, as our old districts were not running a virtual program at this time unless the state mandated we do so. But however, if there are students with severe medically documented needs, we would take them on a first come first serve basis. There is some talk, I don't know if it's going to be solidified, but there's some talk that there might be a virtual option at a regional level for those extremely health compromised children. The CDC's current recommendation is that school districts require masks be worn by everyone inside school buildings. As you can see tonight, I have mine down so you can hear me speak, but as you see tonight, we're wearing them because we're anticipating that this will be coming down for children being in school. And that's pretty much the only bad news that I can see on the horizon. We might have to start school, you know, with the children wearing masks. But if we can get them in, which we will, full time, nice, beautiful opening, I think parents want their children back to as normal a school day as possible. But I do see that coming down, and when we get more information on that, we will definitely advise parents. We will be running regular transportation once again for all eligible bus drivers, and the CDC is actually recommending that children who ride buses do wear masks. However, the social distancing parameters on buses have become relaxed, as is the social distancing in classrooms. Our classrooms will look like normal classrooms this coming school year. They will not be plastic dividers, but we will have students spaced a little closer together where the classroom actually looks like a classroom once again. Where, you know, the teacher has a few more pieces of furniture inside the room and children can move about a little more freely. Also, some bit of good news, again, if you base it on the CDC guidance, contact tracing parameters have been relaxed. So a student would only be contact traced if they were 3 feet or less from an infected person unmasked. So that is very good news for students and contact tracing, tasks that we would be faced with. Obviously, here in Babylon, we are going to maintain all ventilation, all cleaning and disinfecting protocols, just like last year. We have great systems in place. We're going to continue doing those things. We are going to continue with safety education protocols. We kept up all the signage. We're keeping up the plastic safeguard that teachers had in front of their desks. Some of the teachers wanted them, but the student plastic guards are down in the buildings. They will not be on student desks. We're probably going to still take temperatures of students as they come in. We're not sure about the employee and student surveys that everyone had to do each morning. The commissioner of New York State Education Department has asked the governor and the New York State Health Department to reconsider those because they really didn't help as much. So that's pretty much what we're looking at. So we are meeting with our reopening teams this week, next week. The Board of Education is going to get a draft protocol document before it goes out to parents, but we do intend to have parent forums again with all of the parents joining us in during the third week of August. I think that's the 23rd, August 23rd, sometime that week we'll be holding parent forums. So parents can hear directly from us. I'm also sending out a preliminary letter this week to families, just to give them a sense of relief so they can take a breath that we are moving forward, regardless of whether we have masks or not, but we're moving forward with a nice, smooth, wonderful opening for students. Okay, we're up to committee report, but do we have...
No,
I don't think we've had any committee but reading. What I'm going to send you your dates tonight in an email, and if you can take a look at those dates on your calendar, the committee some starts in September. So if you can take a look at your committee dates, all right, on your personal calendars, that would be great. Okay, and under new business, may I have a motion to omnibus item 1321? Any questions? All in favor? Okay, that was unanimously. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 28? Any questions? Any questions? All in favor? Okay. That brings us to other business. Something we've already voted on. This, Lynetta, can you explain number 20 for us? We have some changes in the appropriations actually in the district's favor.
Actually, we have to. So we're asking the board to approve budget transfers tonight that relate to the 2021 fiscal year. When the board adopts a budget and the board approves it, it's an estimate. And commission's regulations and education, along with Babylon budget transfer policy allows for transfer between line items as the need arises. And it's a common thing, especially with this budget, because it was being drafted when COVID was new. Nobody knew whether it was going to be virtual, in person, or not. These two budget transfers, the first budget transfer, are all the payroll codes, and that has been more for class coverage and aid working additional hours. It's a year of adjustment in the process of closing our books. We have our audit a week from today, actually. So this is, we're going to have one more probably after we close the books, but this is a preliminary one. And it's basically due to a lot of class coverage needed for closing related stuff and aid having to work more hours, facility overtime. The second transfer that we're asking you to approve changed from the original agenda. It actually went down by $36,000 due to we have more updated information today on open purchase orders and stuff. So it went down. And there are two main reasons for the transfer. The first one has to do with we run a summer program. It's the 4408 special education program in the summer. Some kids go to both, but we also run an in-house program. And every year we have to adjust the district's contribution towards that program. We charge the salary that expenses directly to the program. The kids that go to both schools are in a pool grade. The state pays 80% of the teachers. With our own program, our contribution can change depending on it's updated information from the state. So we have to increase our transfer this year for that. And the other has to do with a resuscitation engineer requested. We got a workers' comp refund for about $137,000, and it was originally posted as a deduction on the expense. So I was something that would be reclassified. Therefore, we had to refund the money. So we're asking that the board to be transferred for a year and a year.
I have one other item that I'd like Mr. Davey to talk about some SEL initiatives for the year, and these will be year-long projects.
Sure. So we all recognize that social emotional learning is foundational to the holistic well-being of our students. Their success academically is tied into social emotional literacy and wellness as well. But not only benefits to students, it benefits to staff and our community. So we want to be sure our efforts going into this school year are implemented systemically. They're across classrooms, across grade levels, across schools. They include both for all staff members, families, teachers, and students themselves where we can involve them. So the district admin team is meeting this week to plan out what we're anticipating to be about three phases of work. That will begin this month, and we're hoping these phases will carry us through this year. So the first phase is really all about developing a shared vision and a definition and a common understanding of what social emotional literacy is and what it is not. As part of this stage, we anticipate building level teams that include all staff members, building administrators, and families. Once we have an understanding of what social emotional learning is, the amazing benefits it affords the community and the students and the staff. Then we start planning what type of events we want to put into play. And so that would take us into the second stage, which we just call implementation phase, right? And that would include conversations that expand on the curriculum that has been in place in our schools already, while also any modifications, revisions, and incorporation of the details that some of our authorities, particularly CASEL, is an organization that continually updates their work related to social emotional learning, and those can be incorporated into some of the implementation plan. Certainly, we would expect there would be some opening of the year initiatives to welcome it back, some updated school-wide practices and themes and supports, ongoing teamwork and partnerships with families throughout the year. And then I think certainly our K to six guidance counselor can support this work throughout the year with programs in the classroom and just building wide, of course. The third stage really requires reviewing the work that we've done. So you don't want to do work without having an impact. So we want to make sure that we're measuring the impact it's having, both in the wellness of kids, but also in the academics, the success that they may be having. And that would take many different forms, and that's part of the planning process. What are we looking for to measure our success? What other methods of gathering that information and feedback do we need to incorporate throughout the year to make sure that we're responding to the changing needs of our students as everybody comes back the school year? So social emotional learning has always been an important component to what we do each year, but we know that specifically this year, with everybody returning to our buildings, it's going to be important that we spend some time implementing throughout the year. Something that can be seen through grade levels across buildings. But I have to say, in addition to students, also our staff and the adults that come back to help our kids in school. So it's not just enough to service the students that come back. We want to be mindful of the time it would take to connect and heal all the teachers and staff members that have worked for our kids throughout the year. So part of our process will be reflecting on having conversations about gathering feedback from everybody who works with our kids and incorporating that throughout. So that's an important
point. Terrific. Thank you so much. Any questions? We did get parent feedback. We're going to hear parents who would be willing to spend time this year on those committees. So I know Principal is in the process of looking at those lists now. So it's going to be good work, but it's going to be time consuming, but very important. Great. Okay, thank you. Number of other items, universal pre-K, that we are so happy that we're offering that to our families who have children turning 4 years of age now, between now and December. We have a total of 81 children already signed up for the lottery. That survey does not close until August 17th, and I hope all of you got the postcard in the mail for that. We've sent a beautiful postcard to all residents, so we missed nobody out there who might have a youngster who could apply for the UPK program. So we are having a UPK lottery on August 18th, and that I believe is at 4 p.m. We have a total of 29 seats to get out. 18, yes, the fourth provider tonight can do. She was the most fiscally responsible and comprehensive provider that applied to the RFP. There are 18 seats in-house, and then she has an additional 11 overflow spots she could encompass with the same, within the spending we have by grant money, at her site where she works, where she has her agency. And the beauty of that is children who want to get those 11 seats that can go by lottery. She has overflow services, so her, as parents are working, she has access. So the total of 29 seats of free UPK child school for 4-year-olds that we would never have. So we're excited about that. Again, the UPK lottery is August 18th at 4 p.m. It's literally a lottery, it's like, you know, one of those bigger things. And if anybody can really borrow one, I have to find one of those lottery. So, but it's a public open meeting, and we will be there running it. But you literally pick out the first 29 names of those families who get slots. And then you keep picking names until all of the names who registered are picked, and those people go on a wait list by order from chosen. And that's how it works. That's why they call it a UPK lottery. It literally is, you know, picking out of, like, you know, a swirling bin. But we're excited about it because it is, they are free seats for a 5-hour day program.
Any question about that now? Sure. I know we recently reached out, but now, like, for someone who's a parent and a working parent who couldn't swing the 5-hour program in school, is there a way to notify people that the other option is and that they can take the 29 people to be?
Yeah, we have a whole thing. We pick the first 18 first.
But I mean, no people now, like, they didn't know that going in. Like, right. I want to put my application 10 as a parent back then because, like, you know, someone could be there all day. So there are ways to make sure, and then people who have something know that that's an option, so they might, you know, say, I've got that at 29, from the 29 seats, so the 18 seats, which is healthy.
Well, it doesn't work like that. You have to get, yeah. You pick, yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
You get word out about that. It is, though, really, you have to pay for that. It was on the lucky 11 to get those two paid for.
Right.
So you pick your 18 first, and among the first 18, you give those 18 the option, the in-house are over there.
Okay.
And then you backfill it that way.
Okay.
Then you go back. But there's only 11 seats at the agency. And it's only at the agency where she has the overflow seat.
That's still a great option.
Great option. We can get, you know, more information out about that, but I think the word is getting out. And, you know, we'll continue to promote. Last thing I have, scope dinner is August 19th. The new board members that are joining, will be joining this year in the company. The Board of Education retreat is August 20th. We have our Babylon Elementary School principal meet and greet this Wednesday at 10 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. So feel free to come down and meet the climate office at Babylon.
lottery being August 18th. And also at our September 13th meeting, we are going to be talking with one of our neighbors who owns the property next to us at 50 Real Estate. I'll keep that in the September 13th. Okay, that's all I have to do. Thank you.
I have one item to call it the alumni, distinguished alumni application due at the end of August. So anyone interested, if you know anyone who is in the for that one, like it's for that.
Yeah, we started that about 6 years ago.
Yeah, and it was in the Beacon.
Yeah, we posted in the Beacon, and we didn't have a celebration last year because of the pandemic, but we are looking for notable alumni or people to recommend them. So they come to my office. And we have a whole distinguished alumni committee that we've been working with for 6 years, and we look at all the applications. We had some amazing downline. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, and I also have an announcement. This is Ryan, who's been one of our trustees for 7 years, I believe. You know, happily for her, but sadly for us, has just had some increased professional opportunities. So she is unable to, it's great for her, but she's unable to get on the board, so she has to send her information to the trustee. So I do just want to say that the last 2 years she was president, and it was an unprecedented time to say the least. And I really want to thank her. She worked tirelessly to try to, you know, do everything that she needed to do to keep us all organized and find the best way to provide a safe and educational environment for children as best as she could. So I really do wish her well. Thank you for the years of service she will be missed.
I want to say thank you very much, Liz. She was really the president during 2 absolute toughest years that I've seen as a board member, and they handled it well. It's a lot of pressure, and I'm sorry to leave. And we'll miss her guidance and expertise.
I'll let go of those thoughts and feelings. She was really the class act. Wonderful board member, thoughtful, spoke with a sense of reason at all times and looked at all the details before jumping to conclusions and making decisions. Thank you, Ms. O'Brien, for your many, many years of service. Servicing the students that way. Okay, we met with our council before we go over our options for what we may do to get with the seat. And I just asked Mr. Stefanov if you could just give the public a brief overview of what we discussed.
Sure. So essentially, there are 3 options available to the Board of Education. The first option is the Board of Education under 1709 of the Education Law has the authority to appoint a qualified individual to fill the vacant seat. Should the Board of Education elect to fill the vacant seat, a qualified individual is someone who's a citizen of the United States, at least 18 years of age, and someone who has resided within the school district for 1 year prior to the appointment date. Additionally, the person that's appointed by the Board of Education would serve until the next regularly scheduled annual meeting, so until May of 2022. The second option would be for the board to conduct a special district election to fill that vacant seat. That would involve the Board of Education developing notices for an election on so many days notice, 45 days notice, and for the community then to elect someone to fill the vacant seat, in which case that individual elected would serve in the seat until the end of the unexpired term for Ms. O'Brien, which in this case I understand to be June 30th, 2022. The third option would be for the board to do nothing and continue to function as a 6-member board. As long as you continue to function and you're able to make decisions and not be deadlocked on every issue 3-3, that's an alternative that the board could consider as well. And just lastly, I would note that if you're going to hold a special election, it's to be within 90 days of the vacancy. And if you don't hold a special election, you don't fill the vacancy, and things are not functioning as a board, the district superintendent, which would be the Western Suffolk district superintendent, does have the legal authority to appoint an individual, a qualified individual, to the vacant seat. Or in rare cases, the Commissioner of Education could order a special election. In the 37 years I've been doing this, I have never seen a district superintendent appoint someone to fill a vacancy or a special election. Doesn't mean it can't happen. But that's a quick overview of some of the options. Thank you.
Okay, any representatives of organizations? Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, our future board meeting, our next meeting will be a regular business meeting. It will be Monday, August 30th in the library at 7 p.m. Anybody want to have a question? All right, may I have a motion to adjourn? Seconded by Mrs. Nowesky. All in favor? Okay, you're adjourned. Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you.